Open up to Romans somewhere. It's all good. We're going to be in Romans 7, 8, and also in Galatians chapter 5. What does it mean when you say Jesus is Lord? What does that mean in a practical way in your everyday life? What makes us different from the world, or are we different? You know, the world, they love hypocrites because it lets them off the hook. And they look at the church, and every time they see a failing, they magnify that. Never mind the thousands, if not millions, that day by day, the world doesn't know anything about them, but day by day, they're crucifying the flesh, walking by the Spirit, providing for the widow, the orphan, doing the things that don't bring any glory. What does it mean when we say Jesus is Lord? And what does it mean in a practical way? How do we live that life, see? Turn to Romans 7. No more introduction. Paul in the book of Romans. To me, the book of Romans is possibly right next to the Gospels, the most important book in human history. I read that book and I have to agree with Peter. Peter said, some of the things that our brother Paul writes are hard to understand. Add me to that group of witnesses, you know. But Paul is an incredible intellect and like a lawyer's mind who fully understands the Old Covenant and fully understands the New Covenant. He, in a masterful way, he presents these arguments and going back and forth from his positions. Like in Romans 6, he comes on so strong about, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You don't have to let it sin, you know. And we're going, yeah. And then he goes to Romans 7 and he kind of switches the roles back to the guy who's not really born again. He loves God and he's been given the law of God. And he says, well, I'll keep that. Sure, if that's what you want, God, I'll keep that. But he has no power to keep it, you know. And boy, we can all relate with that guy. That's why a lot of people, I always thought till I came here and Pastor Dave taught otherwise. I always thought it was a Christian having trouble with his flesh because it's so easy to relate, you know, the good thing I was going to do, well, I never did do that, and that evil thing, I was never going to do that again. Well, I better kill another sheep, you know. But it's really not a born-again person. It's really not. It's somebody who has been given God's law. I'm not saying they don't love God. He does love God. He says, oh, this is the law? You want me to keep this? Sure, I'll do it. But then he finds out he can't. So let's pick it up in verse 7. Romans 7, 7. So, well, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, no, I had not known sin, but by the law. And then to give an example of all of the commandments that he could have given, he chose the one that is really kind of foundational to the other ones. He said, I would not have known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. See, lust is at the root of a lot of those laws. Adultery, what's causing that? See, we think of sexual lust. This is a morning service. We got little child but too little to understand. Okay. It's lust. The root of that is lust. What about stealing? Well, you say, well, that's greed. But what's greed? It's lust, see? So Paul, writing this, the one he picks is really a foundational. I would not have known lust. I would not have known that's even wrong. Except I read it in your law. Now let's get, what does it say? I would not have known it. It was not inborn into him. He did not have knowledge of it before the law came. Most commentators disagree with that statement. But this book says, I would not have known it was wrong. I would not have known it was sin. Except your law said, don't do it. All right? But then he says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment. Okay, you don't want me to covet? Okay, I'm putting my foot down. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to lust. But see, sin, taking occasion by the commandment, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. And this verse used to really throw me. He said, for I was alive without the law once. See, and because I had not yet been down the born-again trail with Pastor Dave, I went, what? Were my first denominational teachers right? You're born alive to God and then die and then back alive? No, we know now. No, you're born, man's born spiritually dead. What does that mean, I was alive once? No, I was alive once. His conscience wasn't bothering him. He didn't know it was sin. It's okay. This is the way of the world. That's all I know. It's like, I love how Dave taught us. He says, what does the natural man know? The natural man that's not born again, he is sin. His nature is sin. He doesn't know anything out of that. He says, now laws were passed by every nation, you know, but those were really kind of selfish laws. It's not that I don't want your stuff, but I'm going to pass this law so you can't come and take my stuff. They were passed in a way to protect a dead people, a sinful people, from each other. Doesn't mean they knew what was righteous and holy. Even those laws were selfish to protect my stuff. Now, if it was possible, I'd come get your stuff. But I'm not willing to go to prison to come get your stuff, so I'll leave your stuff alone. That's law. That's the whole world right there, okay? But man didn't know law. He didn't know God's right. He didn't know right and wrong, see? He said, I was alive without the law once. I was okay. Me and God were buds, I thought. We were buds. We were pards. I like God. He likes me. He's a sinful, stealing, lying, manipulating, kind of like children. But anyway, I was, and I love children. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now, so he's fine. Me and God are buds. We're doing great. I love God. He likes me. We're doing okay. Okay, here's my law. If you covet, you're worthy of death. If you covet, you die. Uh-oh. I found out I'm guilty. Okay, I'll quit coveting. Then he found out something worse. I can't quit coveting. I can't do it. I can't quit coveting. And with all of his best interest, and I mean, you know, and God gives the God of the second chance, the third chance. We killed the first sheep. We killed the second sheep. We killed the third sheep. We did this for the first 5 years. We did it for the next 5 years. And he can't quit. That's the dilemma of all humanity when faced with the righteousness of a holy God. You can't do it. And I don't care how much you love God. I don't care how much you intend to do it. I don't care how much effort you put into it. I don't care how many years you put into it. For all of that time that man was under, that the Jews were under the law, they demonstrated to the whole world. And later Paul says, this is how the whole world became guilty before God. Look at the Jew. I gave them my law. They couldn't keep it. World, look at this. This is not just the condition of the Jew. This is the condition of all the fallen race of Adam. Therefore, I count the whole world guilty. Why? So I can have mercy on the whole world through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will pay the price for you all. Glory to God. That is the good news of the gospel. So here he says, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 9, I was alive without the law once. I was fine. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, the law says, though, if you're guilty, you die. That's why, unless you offer the appropriate sacrifice. That's this condemnation that's talked about over here in Romans 8. It's that you're condemned to death. Why? Because you sin. Let me offer a sheep. Then you sin again. Death, sheep. Death, sheep. Until finally the sheep, the lamb, he came. All right. Can we see the dilemma of every human? A human that loves God. A human not born again. But he loves God. Someone gave him the law. He says, okay, sure, I'll keep that. But then he finds out. Well, first he finds out when he sees the law, he finds out he's guilty, first off. He didn't even know it was wrong. Then he finds out the penalty is death. Then he says, well, I'll quit that. But then he finds out he can't, see. Yes, sir. Most Christians today use that same excuse. And that is the opposite of what the gospel teaches. That is not what the gospel teaches. That's where that phrase has come from. You're still that same old sinner, just saved by grace or just forgiven now. That is absolutely not what the Bible teaches. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. He is a new species that did not exist before. So here the guy in Romans 7, he goes through this long thing, which we're not going to, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that's what I do. You know all that. Let's come down to the conclusion here. Verse 21, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Here earlier he said, with my mind, I agree that your law is righteous and holy. But I find no power to perform it, But I see another law where in my members, warring against, there it is, the law of my mind. With his mind, he agrees with God's word. But there's another law deep within this guy. It's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Boy, if you underline in your Bible, the law of sin, you ought to underline that, because that's the same law that we're set free from in the next chapter. This law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, now this is the dilemma of the unborn again person. With the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Sad to say, that's most of Christianity. Well, at least in America. I'm not around the world. I don't know. But in America, that's a big part of it right there. But now look at verse 8. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, some of your modern translations, by the way, don't include the rest of this verse. If yours does not have the rest of this verse, there's a trash can on the way out. Because this is in the original. I don't care what your footnotes say. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Everywhere that you see the word Spirit in this chapter, until you get to verse 16, should be a little less. It is talking about the new nature. There is therefore no condemnation. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, you refer back to what he just said, Romans 7. The guy says, I was fine. I was alive. I was, me and God were buds. We were pards. My conscience was not bothering me until I read in the law, thou shalt not covet. Lust is wrong. What's the penalty? Can I still lust anyway? No, if you lust and there's no sacrifice, you die. Oh, that's the condemning sins. But see, through Christ Jesus, did you know you already died under that sentence? That's what he means. If you're in Christ, you died under the penalty of the law. That's what the cross was. He died under the full penalty of the law. And if you're in him, you died already to the law of Moses. There is no condemnation. The law can't kill you twice. Where do you think we get double jeopardy? You ever dig up a dead man? I'm going to kill you. If the dead man could laugh, he would laugh. Isn't that right? Dig up a dead man. I'm going to kill you. No. You've already died in him. The law has lost its power over you. You have died to it. No wonder the Sadducees and the Pharisees wanted to kill Paul for teaching the truth like this, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But see, in Christ Jesus means more, notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is a way to walk now because Jesus is your Lord that is vastly different from the guy in Romans 7. And that's why we're pinching together. Well, Yeah. Now pinch together, if you haven't already done it. See, pinch together. It's kind of small. Your fingers can reach it. Romans 8 and Galatians 5. And really, we're going to be referring also to Romans 7. Now, the way that Paul worded it to this group of Jewish believers, I believe, in Rome, and how he worded the same thing to the, could I say, pagan believers? They used to be pagans. They used to be idol worshipers, but now they're Gentiles. But now they have become believers. So we got this one group in Rome who really knows the law pretty well. You can find that out back in verse 7. He said, I speak to them that know the law. Okay. Well, these Galatians, they didn't grow up under the law. They don't know the law of Moses, you know. So he's talking to two different groups, but he's teaching exactly the same thing. So let's look here. So starting with back in Romans here, where he starts off with it represents the Jew or anybody who has ever been given God's law and then tried to keep it. But if they're not born again, they find out they have no power to keep it. So when it says don't covet, okay, I won't covet, then you find out what? You still covet. It says don't fornicate, you wind up fornicating or whatever that it is. Okay, not all people commit all sins, but all people commit some sins. Anyway, at least that I have personally known. Let's say it that way. Well, we've got to read verse 2. We can't go. Let's read verse 8. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 here in Romans. There is therefore no condemning sentences. That's why Dave keeps phrasing it that way. The law can't kill you again. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, there is a new way to walk now. There is a new way to walk. For the law of the Spirit, little s, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. He did not say the law of sin disappeared, did he? See, if you haven't noticed, that law of sin is still in your members. Boy, I did not. Did I get one amen? Hello? Have you found out? I mean, your sin. Your body will still sin if you let it. Mine will. That rascal. I won't even go into that, but see, it's the law of sin is still there. It wants what it wants. You know, my body don't care what Jesus wants at all. At all. My body does not agree that Jesus is Lord. My body thinks it is Lord. See, that's where we're going to look at over here in Galatians in a minute. So when it says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you have something, believer, that the fella in Romans 7 did not have. The guy in Romans 7, what did he have? He had a spirit passed down to him from the first man, Adam. That spirit was no longer made in the image of God. There was some maybe glimmerings. There was a little likenesses once in a while. But really, man's spirit, when Adam fell, it became a depraved, sinful, selfish, lustful thing. And that's all that he knew. Well, that law is still in our members because the members have not yet been born again. So the guy in Romans 7, somebody gives him God's law. And with his mind, that's why we have spirit, soul, and body. The mind is part of the soul. And he said, oh, well, if this is what God wants, I'll do that. Sure, God. Sure, I'll quit this. Uh-huh. And that's where he finds out he can. So once he becomes a believer, someone preaches Christ to him, he literally dies in Christ. The law kills him, whether he realizes that or not. He dies the same death that Christ died. In Christ, he died. The law killed him. But see, what I didn't know until Dave led us down the born-again trail, I didn't realize forever that the same life that raised Jesus from the dead is the same life that was imparted to me when my spirit went from death to life. And there is something on the inside of me now that's different from the guy in Romans 7. He found no power to stop sinning. We have the power to stop sinning because it is Christ in us, our hope of glory. It is that new nature. That's why he says here, for the law of the Spirit of life, let's say it another way, For the law that's contained in your new nature, the one you received, the one that's made in the image of Christ, it has made you free from the law of sin and death. He didn't say the law of sin and death disappeared. It's still working in your members. Whereas the guy in Romans 7 had no power to stop coveting, Christ in you, the new nature, you have the power to stop coveting. With that thought, and I still want to get to, so come on down to verse 13. Romans 8. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, and that's a little s, if you through the new nature, not through mind power, like the guy in Romans 7 tried, that's all he had. And it's not just that guy, it's for hundreds of years the Jewish nation proved, no matter how much you love God, no matter how much you intended, no matter how intellectual you were, no matter how together you were, nobody could keep God's law. Why? They did not have a spirit on the inside with the power to overcome that law of sin and death that's in our members. But when you got born again, you became a new creature. That life that was imparted to you is the same life that Jesus walked by, that one that he was first born with it, conceived in the womb of Mary, and then he got it again when he was quickened from death to life. But in that nature is the power to walk free, because we know that, because in Hebrews 4 it says he was tempted in all points. If you underline, please underline, in all points like we are, yet without sin. And that was before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So what does that tell you? The power of the new nature alone is enough that you can walk free from the law of sin and death. That's why Pastor Dave over and over again on the Born Again Trail said, if the Holy Spirit was the one that set you free, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free. The power of the Holy Spirit would come on them. No, it's the new nature that set you free from sin. It's that life of Christ. Really, let's say it this way. It's Christ in you. What does it mean for him to be Lord? You let his nature rule in your mortal body. That's the first level of lordship. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans 8, 13 and 14. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit, what if I said, if you through Christ in you, if you through his life in you, if you through the new nature in you, through that, that's how you mortify the deeds of the body. You'll live. And then, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God should be little s. This is the first level of you walking in your sonship, your inheritance. This is the first level of leadership. What does it mean to live today where Jesus is my Lord? You're going to obey the voice of your new nature. You're going to obey the voice of it. When it says, and you didn't even have to be taught. You didn't even have to go to school to find out. Because God says in Hebrews, he says, when you get that new nature, I'm going to write my laws into the mind. I'm going to write my laws into your heart. You will know me from the least to the greatest, from the lowest, from the toenail of the body of Christ to the pinnacle of whoever the top is. They'll all know me from the least to the greatest. You'll know right from wrong. And if you don't, at the next altar call, come give your heart to Jesus. If you don't have that in you, you're not born again. Shandai my Hyundai. Glory to God. I tie my bow tie and everything else here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 14 again. For as many as are led by the new nature, they're the sons of God. And that's huios. There's several Greek words for child, son, children. That one's huios. It doesn't mean an infant in the cradle. It doesn't mean that you're not born of God. There's that word here, huios, is the one they use at a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah in the Jewish tradition, and I believe it's their 13th, where they go from 12 to 13. I could be wrong about that. But whatever it is, the significance of that is our boy has become a man. We're having this celebration today to say that he is now of age to participate in the family business. Well, when you learn to be led by the new nature and sin falls at your feet, God looks at you and said, it's time for our bar mitzvah, boy. Son, you're not a boy, little boy anymore. You have become a son ready to participate in the family business. Here's what your calling really is. And it begins, see. It's good stuff or what? Now see how he wrote it to them, because they understood the law. This is a Roman contingent here. They understood these things. Now, pinched together, we may be back, but go over to Galatians 5. Writing exactly the same truth to these idol-worshipping pagans who never heard the law the day in their life, but suddenly somebody comes and preaches Christ unto them, and they get born again. They have the Christ in them now. They have experienced exactly the same thing as over here in Romans 8. But the difference is they don't know anything about the law. They didn't grow up knowing the law at all. So he doesn't give them this example of Romans 7, does he? So he goes with them. He starts here in Galatians 5. Now, by the way, people were coming trying to put them under the law. That's what this whole book of Galatians is about. They were trying to put them under the law. And Paul is going, don't you dare. In fact, we're going to pick it up in verse 16, but let's back up at least verse 5, chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage is the law of Moses. Throw stones if you want. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, that was the big issue of the day. The big issue today where they put you back under the law is not circumcision. Because they can't spend that. There's no monetary value in that. So, no, if we're going to teach law, let's do it somewhere where we profit. And tithing is the new circumcision. That's the modern day thing. Gary, do you believe in tithing? I believe that giving 10% is a good place to start. But I don't believe in doing anything under the law. No, I believe in being a giver, laying your life down. I believe in trusting your Father as your provider. I believe in obeying the voice of the Lord where he tells me to give to this one, give to that one, and don't give to this one, and don't give to that one. It's a whole new life. Wow. The Lord have mercy. First, Joe, if I give you the keys, we go start the car. I'll be ready. Have it running. I got to get out of here quick. Behold, verse 2 again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised. Now, he means for the purpose of being acceptable to God. He means for the purpose of obeying the law of Moses. It's fine. If you have your child circumcised for health reasons or something, that's fine. But to do it to make him acceptable to God, that's an abomination. You're throwing sheep blood on the altar where Christ bled, if you want to know the truth of it. Gee, I'm preaching hard today. I don't remember eating barbed wire for breakfast. I don't. Gee, many. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that if you're going to do one part, he's a debtor to do the whole law. You can't do anything and be acceptable by keeping the law. That's why in Romans 3, if we backed up, he said, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Woo. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You're spitting on the cross. You're counting the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing. And you're going back to shadows that pointed directly to him. Come on down. This is where I should have started here, see. That's where I was going to start. Verse 16. Okay, let me build the case again. Romans 7. This poor guy, not born again, thought he was okay with God. Someone hands him the law of Moses. finds out coveting is wrong. Who knew? Uh-oh, and I'm guilty of death if I covet. Is there any way out? You can offer a sheep. Bring a sheep. But I'm going to quit doing that. And he tries, and he tries, and he tries, and he tries. And no matter how hard he tries, he finds out he can't keep the law. There's something at his core. No matter how much with his mind he loves God, and with his mind he knows the law, and with his mind I'm going to keep the law, he finds out he cannot escape. There is no power within him to escape that law of sin that's operating in his members. He just can't do it. There's nothing in him. Then we come to the great transition where that same guy gets born again. Now he dies under the penalty of the law. The law can't condemn him anymore. He's already died under the penalty of it. Now he's a new creature in Christ Jesus, and there's something different about this man. And so the way he explained it in Romans 8, again, he says, learn to live by that new nature. That spirit that quickened you from death to life, the one that you received when you were born again, that, the difference between you now and how you were in Romans 7, now when you look on the inside, you're going to find power that sets you free from the law of sin and death. Now, and just like when Jesus, it says he was tempted in all points, just like we are. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Why? Because he had the life in him that you now have in you. And the same way he could lean on that life within him, it's the very life of God. The way he could rely on that life to walk free from sin, now you have that same life in you, and you can walk free from it too. Glory to God. So he explained it to them, if as many as are led by the Spirit of God, let's say it this way, as many as are led by that new nature, they are the sons of God. What's he talking about? Walking free from sin. Because you can. Now, back over to Galatians. Here's how he teaches that exact same truth to the Galatians. Verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. Again, this should be little s. Walk in the new nature. Romans 8, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the new nature, they are the sons of God. You're learning how to walk free. Walk by that new nature. Galatians 5, he says, walk in the Spirit, walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boy, that guy in Romans 7, that's not been born again. What if someone gave him a copy of this? He'll say, I need a cup of that. What? There is something that a person can have that's stronger than my mind. I mean, I loved God, guy in Romans 7. I love God. I knew God's law. I love God. I want to keep God's law. I tried and I tried and I tried and I could not do it. What is this spirit you're talking about? It's the same spirit that quickened Christ from dead to life. That same spirit is in you when you got quickened from death to life. And I wanted to run Pastor Dave out of town the day he preached. We'd like to think Paul received something different than we received when we were born again. We'd like to think Jesus received something different than what we did when we were born again. But Romans tells you plainly, it's that same spirit that raised him from the dead. It dwells in you. Not some lesser spirit. You've got the same life on the inside of you that he had on the inside of him. Now you can walk free. I was meditating this and I'm going, so he just says, let's keep going here a little bit. Hallelujah. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the new nature and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boy, the guy in Romans 7 would have killed for that new nature, wouldn't he? Can you see that Romans 8 is talking about something the guy in Romans 7 didn't have? And Galatians 5 is talking about something that the guy in Romans 7 didn't have. Bless his heart, the guy in Romans 7, he loved God and wanted to keep the law, but he just couldn't. Why? He needed a Savior. All those verses. Why did God give the law? It says, well, first off, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The guy in Romans 7 didn't even know he was a sinner. He thought he was okay. Till God gave him the law. He goes, uh-oh, not only am I a sinner, I'm condemned to death. I was alive before that. Thanks a lot for giving me that tract, you know. But you know, really, that's God's way with everybody. If you don't realize you're a sinner condemned to hell, you're not going to get saved. Now, fortunately for Sue and I, we were such good sinners. We didn't think we were righteous and on our way to heaven. We knew better than that. Anyway, that's another deal. Galatians 5. I got to read that. I just can't go on without reading that verse again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the new nature. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's not letting me pass that verse. Do you understand that's the difference between the guy in Romans 7 and the guy in Romans 8? The guy in Romans 7 had no capacity to do that. You can't. It's useless really to tell the sinner quit sinning. Except to bring them to the knowledge they need a Savior. That's the only, you know. But to think that they're going to be able to do it. They can't do it. They can. If they can, Jesus didn't need to die. See, so I know they can't. All right, let's try and go one past one more. Verse 17. For the flesh, Christian, Romans 8 person, your flesh still lusts against the new nature. That's what he's saying. And the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. Now, contrary has a deep spiritual meaning, and it means contrary. Opposite. They are at war. The flesh wants what it wants, which is sin and pleasure and glory and the love of wanting to be highly regarded by man and that type of thing, see. The Spirit, you know what it loves? That new nature? It's got the image, it's the very image of Christ. It loves righteousness. It loves holiness. It's not interested in the glory of man. It's interested in the glory of God. It doesn't want man's approval. It wants God's approval. It's full of peace. What he tells you here later on, what it's full of, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, so forth. That's the Spirit. These, did you ever notice your flesh is not normally full of peace? It's the opposite of that. Your flesh is not love. Bears love their cubs, don't they? See, that's natural beings love their offspring. Okay. Touch one of those offspring. What did I say earlier about my lily cake? See, that's natural love. Okay. God's love is not the same as human love. Down here where it says love, it's a word agape. God's love is not self-seeking. Anyway, that's, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and find out about that. Today's lesson, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the new nature against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, look, if you be led of the Spirit, this is almost the same wording that he uses over there in Romans 8. If you, over there he said, if you, let's look at it together. Romans 8, 13 or 14. Yeah, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now look at verse 18 of Galatians 5. But if you be led of the Spirit, over here he says, if you're led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why not? He wrote his law on the inside of you. You're not under the law of Moses anymore. You don't have to look externally anymore. He wrote it inside of you. There's a new sheriff in town, I like to say it that way. The new nature is like the new sheriff in town. It'll tell you what's right and wrong. And if you violate it, you're going to go to the jailhouse for a while. You got a conscience that's going to bother the heck out of you. You're going to get to bother you. If you be led of the Spirit, if you be led by that new nature, you're not under the law. Then he starts listing all of these things. And the guy in Romans 7, first of all, wouldn't even have known these were wrong until God's law came. But he starts listing, and it's not even exhaustive. He said, and such like, further on. He He says the works of the flesh are manifest. Let's say it another way. The things that the law of sin and death want. That law of sin that's in our members. This is what it wants. He says contrary, right? Well, this is the contrary. This is the stuff that the flesh wants. Because pleasure comes from these things. Gratification comes from these things. Highs come from these things. Verse 19. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Y'all pray for me. I thought I was going to be real nice. Verse 18. If you're led of the new nature, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh. Let's talk about. You might as well say that law of sin in your members. Same thing. The law of sin in your members are the works of the flesh. If you let it, it will do all of these things. Because it has no law of God in it. It only knows pleasure. It only knows self. It only knows. It's still just as sinful as your nature used to be. Gum, did I say that out loud? See? Did I say that out loud? Did you hear that? It's not changed. This is pretty much an illustration of this is the nature of man. Before you find the law of God, before you start hearing from God, this is your nature. And you can tell it because the flesh is still that way. It's the residuals. It's the leftover. It's the part that he had to leave us here until the end of this dispensation. My goodness. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I love the King James, but that particular one is a terrible translation. The Greek word there is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. He's talking about drug abuse there. Any form of drug abuse to get high, even if it's nicotine, which for me it wasn't exactly high, but it was a drug that affected my mind. Okay. Alcohol would be another one, you know. Okay, so idolatry, drug abuse, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Envyings to me is very enlightening. Envying, when he says the motions, he said that law of sin which is in our members. Well, here, this is part of that law of sin. But envy, when we think about our members, we think of the physical body only. But envy, can you envy with your elbow? How many of you hate with your left earlobe? I hate you with all of my big toe, you know. Now, those things don't live in our physical body. So what does the flesh include? When he says members, that's not just talking about the physical body. It's talking about any area of the soul, which is not only the intellect, but that would include emotions, that has not yet been renewed to the mind of Christ. Right there are your strongholds, the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Those, all of those things in that arena is one of the reasons. And it is true that the new nature alone sets you free. But sometimes, yes, sir. He's having me do a study right now on something called weak in the faith. Because you can be a genuine born-again Christian and be very weak in the faith. Well, why are you weak in the faith? You haven't been taught yet. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that hearing can come by preaching, like you're hearing me preach, or hear Nathan or Dave or whoever. You do get a lot of knowledge that way. But see, what if you were born again on a desert island somewhere with no Bible? Well, the Holy Ghost is still your teacher. He's still your teacher, see. And your spirit can be nurtured. This is why we're building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, he starts coming against strongholds and old hurts and things that still has you bound, you know. And you pray in tongues, he starts tearing those things down so you can walk free from them. I recommend a book on that. It's called, what was the name of that book? It's by Dave Roberson. What was the name of that book? Oh, yeah. The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. That's the best I ever read on all that. Verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies. Did you know heresies? I'm not ready to preach that yet. Let's just say it this way. They don't come from God. They don't come from your new nature. They're products of what? The flesh. They are products of the flesh, the rational mind without the enlightenment of God. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Now notice, and such like. This is not exhaustive. This is not all inclusive. Now the guy in Romans 7, I don't know anybody that's guilty of all of those things. Maybe there is somebody. But I don't know anybody who's not guilty of some of those things. Okay? I've said this before, and this old man, who I'm talking about, died already. Sue and I one time, we're under the law, we would be murderers. Because, and even as I say this now, there is mercy for everything. If you had an abortion, there is mercy for you. But Sue and I, before we got born again, we paid for an abortion one time. We were so enlightened in the ways of the world, we thought we knew the right thing to do for this relative of ours who got pregnant at age 14. And we didn't think a thing about it. I got to tell you, my conscience did not bother me at all. Not at all. Because I thought I knew right from wrong. See, the conscience in an unsaved man is not a saved God. You can be programmed by the world. You can be programmed to be a headhunter and feel guilty if you don't go kill your enemy and bring back his head. See, the conscience of an unsaved person is not a safe guide at all. When you get born again, you get a new nature, and there's a voice with that spirit. Then your conscience, when you violate that voice, that's when your conscience will bring you back to the right standing. But the conscience in an unsaved person is not a safe guide. Sue and I, though, were guilty. Guilty of murder. We didn't realize it till after we got born again. But see, there are consequences to sin. How do you go and fix that? So you know what we had to do? We died. In Christ, when we got born again, those people guilty of that murder, we died. We died in Christ. So try and accuse me of it now. Dig me up out of the grave. Call me a murderer. Say, no, I already died under that. Sorry, I'm going back to sleep. Teasing. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When you stand here, you have to be careful what you say. Oh, Gary believes in soul sleep. I do not. I believe you went to depart and be with Christ is far better. And to depart and like the rich man who woke up in hell is far worse. But you're not doing no soul sleep. No. No. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have told you in time past. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I hope you still got it pinched. Those which do such things, would you call those things walking after the flesh? And if you walk after them, what does he say? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Back up, Romans 8. Verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You're going to lose your inheritance. This is the guys in Jude, actually, where it says they were twice dead. Who are those guys? They're the ones that turned the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. They're the ones saying his grace covers sin. You can live any way you want to. It's okay. His grace covers it. You could just be lascivious, and it's okay. And those guys, they continued in the flesh to the point they died the second time. How do you become twice dead? Every human is born spiritually dead. So they were born that way the first time. They must have come to life at some point. They were born again. But they lived after the flesh to where exactly what happened here. Where is that line, Gary? I don't know. God purposely left it blurred. That's why only he is the judge. I don't know where that line is. My advice is don't get near it. Stay away from that line. Let's walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. See? But that's what he said. He said, if you live after the flesh, well, what's living after the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things and more. If you live that way, you're going to die. And all your doctrine's not going to change the Word of God. Repent today. before sundown. When did I become that kind of preacher? I don't know when that happened. I thought it was going to be nice today. They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? You're going to die. You're going to die again. You can take your place to that. You can take a journey out of God far enough. Where is that line, Gary? I don't know. God's pretty long-suffering. How do you know that, Gary? Going on to the next verse. I got some witnesses here. They know what I'm talking about. But see, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature, what does it mean Jesus is Lord? Well, you're going to walk in love today. Yeah, you're going to walk in love today because that's the fruit. That's His nature pouring out of you. That's His fruit. See, back there in Romans 8, if we went on to chapter 13, which we're not going to get to it today since we have 4 minutes left. Later on, He says to you plainly, if you walk in the Spirit, if you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. To the Galatians, He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Over in Romans, He says, love worketh no ill to its neighbor. If you walk in love, that is the fulfilling of the law. You're not going to covet from your neighbor. You're not going to steal from your neighbor. You're not going to lie to your neighbor. You're not going to do any of those things if you learn to walk in love. So to Galatians, He says, well, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature, let's say it this way, the fruit of Christ in you, as you walk with Him as your Lord today, you're going to walk in love because that's the fruit of who He is in you. You're going to walk in love. You know what love tells? You know what love tells a Jude guy that's gone so far into sin that he's not even born again now? You know what love tells him? Repent. Get back with God. You better go back to the cross and start all over again. Because if you don't, you're going to wind up in hell. Are they going to like you for that? Probably not. They may put you on a cross. That's Him in you. Still reaching with your last breath to save the lost. Quiet in here now. See, it's not always ooshy-gooshy. Some people, He's going to need champions, warriors. That's another phrase that's been coming to me called warriors of love. Warriors of love. That's what Jesus is. He is God's weapon of love. He is the warrior of love. He spared nothing to bring the love of God to us. He spared nothing. To me, He is the ultimate man's man. He is the champion of all time. He is the most courageous person in all of history who spared nothing. He's a warrior of God's love. He is the weapon of love, and He's raised us to be that same thing. And it doesn't, that kind of love is not always looking for a pat on the back or a pat on the head. That kind of love has come to save sinners from hell, the ones that God loves and trying to reach. And the fruit of the Spirit, what does it mean for Jesus to be my Lord today? I'm going to walk in love, even if you hate me for that love. Even if you hate me enough to put me on the cross, sue me, take my goods. That's the guy in Luke 6, you know. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do my best to save you. Do my best to share the truth with you. Rescue from an eternity in hell. And I'm going to do it with joy, even as you're persecuting me. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. That joy set before Him was you. That joy set before Him was us, the fruit that would be harvested, not wind up in hell. And even when all hell is breaking loose and they're doing everything they can to stone you and whip you and scourge you and sue your britches off for telling the truth, you're going to be full of what? The next one. Love, joy. What's the next one? Peace. With everything crumbling, lashes Today they don't do it with physical lashes. They do it with lawsuits and television and slander and newspapers and all of that. Just, they're trying to do everything they can to wreck you. Long suffering. Well, I thank God for His long suffering with me. His gentleness with me. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Now verse 24. And really we could go all the way back to Luke 9:23. He that would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Well, they that are Christ's, they have crucified the flesh. And if you keep it in context, you do it every day. You crucify it. And it's agony for the flesh. You're going to feel it. I don't know yet why God still leaves us connected with the feelings of the flesh. I don't know why. But I know there's a reason, because He doesn't do anything without a reason. But I know that no matter how hard it is, this is why Peter over in his letter, he says, those that have suffered in the flesh, they're freed from sin. Crucifixion is hard. I remember in the early days when Dave would just relentlessly preach about fasting, and I tried it and I didn't like it. I said, Dave, fasting hurts. He said, good, you're doing it correctly. I said, fasting is hard. Yes, son, yes, you're doing it well. It's supposed to hurt. Yeah. It's a war you can initiate that's not lethal, that you can initiate anytime you choose to. Just you can run a little test and see who is Lord. Who's winning this, your flesh or you? And I stayed. I still stayed. So did you. They that are Christ, how many are Christ? We crucify that flesh, and it's agony. And it screams in agony sometimes with the affections and the lusts. So verse 25, see, it's not okay to just live in the Spirit. This is the false doctrine. Well, I live in the Spirit. I've been born again. I'm just walking by my flesh, and God's grace covers it. No, you keep walking like that. You don't get to stay neutral. You're backsliding. You're approaching that line that only God is the judge. I'm not your judge. Now, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the difference between us and the guy in Romans 7, we can. We have something he did not have. We have been born again. Hallelujah. We'll see you in 30 minutes.